Take your Bible, if you would, please. Find the very last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Finally, after almost 2 years in this book, we come, and you can be seated, to the 34th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34. We have been embarking on a study of this book in a series entitled Things to Remember. I will preach one more message next week that will be the book in review. And I hope you'll make that message, because I have about 7 or 8 statements that I want to give to you from the book that hopefully you will mark in your Bible and will always be there and help you every time you come to this wonderful book in your Bible reading or in your study. Of course, we understand a book penned by Moses as he has finished this. And this book is his reminder to the second generation of Israelites as they've come out of the nation of Egypt, preparing them and hopefully positioning them to not fall under the sin of unbelief like their parents, but to believe and trust the Lord and prepare themselves as they make their way into the promised land and as they are able to receive the blessings and the promises that God has for them. And so even though the practices in this may be a little bit dated in Old Testament and strategic to the nation of Israel, the eternal truths have been wonderfully practical for our lives. And I know, as I've talked with you and even in my own heart, that these truths have been a blessing to me. And I never will look again at the book of Deuteronomy the same. I feel a familiarity with it and a love for it today, and look forward to revisiting it as I study and walk with the Lord down the road. I've entitled the lesson tonight simply, The End. The End of chapter 34. I was going to title it The Transition, but we have reached the end of the book. And so I'm excited. Well, last message that I preached to you before I left, I preached from chapter number 33, a message entitled The Empowerment of Blessing. I took from that chapter, verse number 1, what it says here about Moses. And it says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. You will find that the death of Moses is a repeated theme in these closing chapters. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Prior to his death, as God has already told him about his death, Moses is taking these last chapters to give his final instruction to the people whom he loved. In chapter 33, he is reminding them, as the man of God, about the blessing of God. I talked to you about the importance and the reality of being a man or woman of God. I want to be a man of God. I trust you want to be a man or woman of God. It's one thing to be a child of God. It's another thing to be a man or woman of God. Just because you are a child of God doesn't make you a man or a woman of God. A man or woman of God, I believe, shows a maturity in the Word, a growth in the Word, and an understanding, a development in our obedience and in our faith. We know that we're children of God, made children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people come into church and they have this mentality that everybody in the world is God's child. That is not true. You will not find that truth in the Bible. What you will find in the Bible is that every person in the world is God's creation, but you only become a child of the living God as you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that makes us a child of the living God. If you believe that, say amen to that. I hope you understand that. And so as a child of God, that's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be a man or woman of God and to mature in walking with the Lord. You should be growing in your life, maturing in the Lord every day, every month, every year. You ought to be able to look back upon your life and see what God has done, where he has brought you. You ought not to be stagnant in your growth. Stagnation will lead you to going backwards. And so Moses, as the man of God here, loves the nation of Israel and desires to bless them. I love to be around people that bless me. I want to be a person who knows how to bless others, to bless them with the word of God, bless them with the truth of God, bless them with the joy of the Lord. This was Moses. And we went through chapter 33, beginning in verse number 6, all the way through down to verse number 24. And you found that Moses took all of the tribes and he gave to them a blessing that came from God, a blessing that was designed in Moses' heart and mind to exalt God in their heart and mind. I want to say that again. It was designed in the mind of Moses and in the heart of Moses to exalt God in the heart and mind of this second generation. And he wanted the exaltation of God to be there in the preeminence of God in their heart and mind, so that when they got into the promised land, they would have no desire to worship any other gods. And as you read through these blessings that God gave, that Moses gave to each nation or each tribe, you find that they're wonderfully encouraging and empowering. They're awesome. When you get done reading them, you would almost feel invincible. You would feel like that God has directed you with an ability to navigate life, and you would want this blessing to become a reality in your life. This was the design that Moses had for them. And so he gave them this blessing, hoping that they would see that, know that the only way they were going to get that blessing was by obeying God. Therefore, God would be exalted in their mind. And when they got over into the promised land and they had all these false gods that would be clamoring for their attention, that the true and living God would be exalted in their heart and mind, and they would see a difference. By the way, there's only one God, and his name is Jesus. And there's only one God that can bless you. There's only one God that loves you supremely. Matter of fact, that's what Moses told them. If you come to chapter 33 and you look at verse number 3, Moses had two bookends. You might remember that phrase to these blessings. He's reminding the people about the true and living God. And he says, yea, he, speaking of God, loved the people. And so Moses wanted them, as he was blessing them and exalting God in their heart and their mind, so that they would want to worship him and remain faithful to him. But Moses says, let me begin by telling you, God loves you. Never forget, God loves you. And as you study this book, you will even find that he told them, when you are away from the Lord and when you've sinned against God and when you understand a distance there, don't forget that God still loves you. And if you will repent, God will forgive you. I want you to understand God is love, and there's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. The devil will tell you that you can hurt the love of God, but you won't find that in the Word of God. The devil will tell you that somehow God's love is being withheld from you, but you won't find that in the Word of God. Matter of fact, in the Word of God, you will find that no one or no thing can ever separate you from the love of God. I have found that people need to be loved. People can say they don't need anyone to love them, but they do need to be loved. The Bible talks about how that humanity needs to believe that someone loves them. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you, no one loves you more than God loves you. And so Moses said to the nation of Israel, before I die, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to be a people of unbelief. I don't want you to go in there and worship these false gods and get yourself destroyed. I want you to live. I want you to know the blessing of God. So here's the blessing that God has for each of you. As you hear what God has for each of you, and that blessing is so awesome, I'm hoping that it exalts God in your mind and in your heart to his rightful position. As God is exalted in your heart and your mind, you will find that you will be submitted to him, that you will be sanctified and set apart unto him, and you'll realize that relationship. Now, fellas, let me explain something to you. No one loves you more than God loves you. Don't get over there in that perverted immorality and direction and all of that, and let those gods and those people tell you that they love you more than the true and living God. The true and living God created you. The true and living God chose you in the nation of Israel. By the way, the true and living God created you, and the true and living God saved you. So don't let anybody tell you they love you more than God loves you. As I have exalted these blessings, let me give you a final thought. Verse 29, he said this, as you remember from the lesson. Not only does God love you, but Israel, verse 28, he talks about how you'll dwell in safety alone. The fountains of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. His heavens shall drop down dew. Verse number 29, would you say that out loud? 1, 2, 3. Happy. Happy. Not only does God love you guys, but it's only God that can make you happy. And God's not going to make you happy in some unbiblical way or some selfish way. But God has the ability to satisfy you. Amazes me, even as Christians, how sometimes we can get off base here. Even as Christian people, we can somehow believe that someone or something loves me more than God loves me. And then somehow or some way, I can get off to the place where I believe someone or some other thing can make me happier than even God can make me. Here's a very dangerous position that you can find yourself in. A very dangerous position that you can find yourself in is this. You think you know more about what you need than God knows more about what you need. I got to say that again, because that was excellent, and nobody said that was excellent. A very dangerous position is when I begin to think that I know better about me than God knows better about me. No, God, I know what will make me happy. No, you don't. No, God, I know the way of success. No, you don't. But I know where I'm going. But the Bible says that no man knows the future, only God does. When you and I begin to think that we know more about ourselves than what God knows, therefore you reduce that thought, and here's what you're saying. I can make me happier than you can make me. I got news for you. I've walked that path a little ways in my life before. And I might be able to, on the first step or two, do that. But after about the third step, I realize the only thing I can make myself is miserable. And I have found that not only do I make myself miserable, I kind of make everybody around me miserable. So before I preach to you verse chapter 34, you got to understand chapter 33. Here's the man of God dying, loving those people, wanting them not to fall under this condemnation of unbelief, wanting them not to be destroyed, exalting God in their heart and mind as to being the true and living God who loves them more than anybody and can make them happier more than anybody, and desiring for them to submit themselves as the people of God. If you're with me, say amen. Verse number 1 of chapter 34. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab under the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. That is over against Jericho. The Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah under the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees unto Zor. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that he is God, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Wow. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. And if you could write one more verse, you would write the end. Chapter 34, I think if you wanted to divide it, you could take verses 1 to 8 and you could write the death of Moses. And you could take verses 9 to 12 and you could write the eulogy of Moses. The death of Moses is a repeated theme in these closing chapters. I want to say a word about his death. The Bible says in verse number 5 that Moses died according to the word of the Lord. I believe as you study that and you look at that as a Christian, that's the way all Christians ought to die. According to the word of the Lord. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ lives in me. I'm so glad that I have the presence of God and the truth of the word of God, hope and joy. I want to be very careful here, but I want to say some things. You know, I never think about killing myself. I don't ever think about taking my own life. One of the reasons I don't think about taking my own life is because I don't own my life. My life belongs to Jesus Christ. Does yours? Oh, our society is so hurt. They're just killing themselves one right after another. Touched even people close to me. Christians, the Bible says this in Psalm 139 and 16 and Psalm 116:15. Precious to God is the death of his saints. The Bible says that there is an appointed time that a man is to die. I don't believe you will ever live beyond your appointment one nanosecond. But I do believe that we have the ability to shorten our lives. What do you mean by that, Pastor? God told Moses, Moses, this is when you're going to die. Your time is over. It's appointed. And Moses died according to the word of the Lord. You and I have an appointed time in which we will die. When our time is finished, when we have done supposedly what all God would have us to do, when our work here on this earth is ended, then I think our lives will end. Pastor, I'm an old man or woman. Why am I still alive? I get asked that sometimes. You know what I tell people? You're still alive because God still has a plan for you. Pastor, I can't do much. I can't go get out of bed. I can't do this. Can do that. But you can pray. You can do something. I don't know. But God has purpose in leaving you alive. Matter of fact, God doesn't do anything without purpose. But I do believe that you can shorten your life. I'll give you some biblical examples about it. Let's take Samson. It wasn't God's plan that Samson die with those Philistines. But Samson made choices to shorten his life. Let's go to Paul. When Paul's writing to the church, and Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11 about the table of the Lord, this is what he says. He says, let a man examine himself and see, lest he be eat unworthily and drinketh unworthily and drinketh damnation. And then he goes on and he says, for this cause... Many are sick and sleep among you. What does that mean? Their lives were shortened. That wasn't that appointed time. They shortened their life. Pastor, why are you saying this? I'm saying this because I need you to believe that Jesus Christ is life. And he came to give us life, and he came to give it to us abundantly. And I need you to understand that choices you make have consequences. And sometimes those choices that we make and those consequences that we make set us up mentally and emotionally to where we begin to think things we shouldn't begin to think, and we don't address those improper thoughts. You need to be afraid of thoughts that enter into your mind that are against God's word. You got to understand that not every thought that comes into you is of the Lord. Not every thought that comes into you is a safe thought. And you've got to learn spiritually how to grab and arrest those thoughts and replace them with biblical thoughts. If you leave your mind unchecked by the word of God, your mind will take you places you never dreamed you could go. Ever. Ever. And if you let that and you think that and you tolerate that and you work on that, that eventually you think something long enough, and that has the ability to be worked out in your life practically. And so I'm teaching you this because Moses died the way Christian people ought to die. He died at his appointed time, faithfully serving the Lord, and he didn't cut his life short. Moses wasn't perfect. Moses faced tremendous consequence here. Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because he had a point in time in the book of Numbers chapter 20 where he exalted himself and he didn't glorify God. He was to speak to that rock and he smote that rock. He acted in a position of flesh, and there was great consequence to his choice. And really and truthfully, the consequence to his choice was that he was not able to go into the promised land. Now, praise God for a forgiving God. Moses found forgiveness. And by the way, he did make it to the promised land. You come into the New Testament and you find his feet are on that Mount of Transfiguration. It's interesting that Moses is there and Elijah there. The Lord Jesus is there. There was wonderful grace and forgiveness. I wanted to say some things about death tonight. Death is the portal that leads God's child to the presence of God. Death is something that we should not be fearful of, but it is something that we ought to be reverent about. Death is something that if the Lord does not come and rapture us, that we will all go through. But I don't want to die on my time. I want to die at the Lord's time. And I want to be faithful until that time. Moses was such a man. The eulogy of Moses is one of faithfulness. Matter of fact, besides verses 9 to 12, you ought to write Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Write that in your Bible. Write that in your notes. If you wanted a summary of verses 9 to 12, I can give them to you here from the writer of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says this in verse number 1, speaking here, making an application between Moses and the Lord. He talks about, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, speaking of Christ, inasmuch as he hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. He goes on to say in verse number 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of these things which were to be spoken after. So the writer of Hebrews, when he's comparing the betterness of the new covenant to the old covenant, and he's exalting Moses, but he's supremely exalting the Lord Jesus, he says, let me tell you about Moses. Moses was faithful. He was a faithful servant to all of his house. When you come back to Deuteronomy chapter 34 and you come to verses 9 to 12, I think you can summarize these verses by a faithful servant. I want to tell you this. You and I are to be faithful to the Lord till the day we die. Faithfulness is something that's waning a little bit in our churches today. Faithfulness is something that's waning a little bit in the heart of God's people. Moses was a faithful servant to God, as you find here in verse number 9. And as you work your way into verses 10 and 11. As faithful servant to God, he was faithful to walk with God. Moses knew what it was to be faithful to spend time with God. He listened to God's word. He obeyed God. Was Moses perfect? No. Nobody's perfect apart from the Lord Jesus. But please don't eliminate faithfulness based on imperfectness. I want to say that again. Don't eliminate faithfulness based on imperfectness. I had a wonderful opportunity to speak to a man right before church, a man whom I love dearly. And we were talking about baptism and beautiful illustration for our message. He says, every time I get ready to submit to the Lord about believers' baptism, I hear this other voice that tells me, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And it kind of keeps me from doing that. And so I was able to share with him this. Worthiness is what the devil will use to keep you from obeying God. Worthiness is what the devil will use to keep you from obeying God. By the way, did anybody in here get saved because you were worthy? No. You don't get baptized because you're worthy. You get baptized because God commanded you to do that. But the feeling of unworthiness, that's what the devil uses to keep me from obeying God. I have found that imperfection, which, believe me, transitions into pride, a lot of times is what keeps us from getting up after we've fallen and continuing to be faithful. Moses wasn't a perfect man. Moses complained. Moses knew what it was to do things against God. Moses knew what it was to suffer those consequences. But at the end of Moses' life, he was referred to by the author of the writer of Hebrews and the Holy Spirit of God as a faithful man. God needs faithful people. I know you're faithful people here on Wednesday night. And I believe you to be faithful. I want to encourage you in that faithfulness. He not only was faithful to God, he was a faithful shepherd. When you come to chapter 34, you find that Moses loved the people. He did love the people. Not only was he a faithful servant to the Lord and to the people, he was a faithful prayer warrior. Verse number 10, he knew the Lord face to face. He knew what it was to commune with the Lord. He knew what it was to converse with the Lord, talk with the Lord. We do that through prayer. Not only was he a faithful prayer warrior, but he was also a faithful witness. Verse number 12, he showed in the sight of all Israel. When you look at his life, Moses showed meekness. He showed God's glory. He showed God's power. All of these things are things that reflected in the life of Moses to the nation of Israel. When you come to chapter number 34, here's what you read. You read the death of a faithful man. When you come to my funeral one day, and you make sure, I've told you this, you make sure I'm buried, not burned, okay? I left her enough money to put me in and bury me, not to cremate me. I want you to come visit my funeral and say, you know what? Pastor Hunter died a faithful man. Our God is faithful. He wants you to be faithful. And I'm a little bit targeting the devil tonight and his work and what he does in our lives, because I think he uses imperfection to hinder our faithfulness. He uses worthiness to keep us from obeying God. Moses wasn't perfect, but Moses walked with God. He listened to God. He followed God. Moses was faithful to shepherd the people. He loved the people. He was faithful to pray. He knew God face to face. I mean, you talk about a prayer warrior. And he was also a faithful witness. These are things we can do. These are things that we ought to do. Moses was leaving them a wonderful legacy. He did not want them to fall under unbelief. He wanted them to know the joy of obeying God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, the death of a faithful man. I want that testimony about my life. He died according to the word of the Lord. That's the way I want to die. He didn't cut his life short. He finished his course. That's what Paul was saying. Paul said to Timothy, now listen, kid, I finished my course, man. Finish your course. Fight the good fight. There's a crown waiting for you. Moses wasn't perfect, but he was faithful. I'm not perfect, but I want to be a faithful man of God. I want to be a faithful husband. I want to be a faithful dad. I want to be a faithful pastor. I want to be a faithful lover of people. Moses wasn't perfect, but he knew you face to face. Good night. Face to face. Matter of fact, his face shone with the glory of God. What an intercessor. You were coming to kill the nation. You were coming to destroy it. And Moses said, no, blot me out, God. What love. And then as a faithful witness, he showed Pharaoh, he showed the nation, he showed them how great you were, you are. He showed them the power of God. He showed them the glory of God. He showed them the love of God. The death of a faithful man.